Neil, to no apologies.
It's very conventional, I don't know, and it's kind of just relies on sort of some kind of simplistic folk ideology.
That's true, actually, I'd agree with that.
The gun. Oh, Charlton Heston, your father's favorite son. Round and round and at infinitum.
You can still catch No Apologies here on WUSB, alternate Saturdays at 3 a.m. here on WUSB, Stony Brook.
And you're in tune with radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. And it's 6 o'clock. Time for Off the Wall. And I was reading the paper, as I'm prone to do sometimes, looking at what's going on in the world. And something just jumped out at me. There's a call for another $80 billion to pay for this little adventure we're having over in Iraq. And brings the total cost to $280 billion. And I realize, you know, there's about 280 million people in this country. So if you do some division, that's, you know, around $1,000 a person. And that includes babies and people who don't pay taxes. So I think, you know, as somebody who does pay taxes, I'm paying a little more than $1,000, maybe a lot more than $1,000. And so with this election coming up, I think I should have some say in how it goes. Right? I mean, you know, I'm paying for this thing, so I should be able to vote in the Iraqi elections, too. I mean, why not? Why not? It's pretty much our country now anyway, so why not let American citizens who are paying for this vote in the election? That way we get somebody we like in there. It's what we want, right? We need somebody in there who we like. That's what this is all about. We didn't like Saddam Hussein. He was nasty. We want somebody nice. Okay, let the people who are paying for the war vote. And that way, it's a lot safer, too, because we can vote from here. We can use electronic voting machines, and we don't have to go to Iraq and worry about car bombs and things like that. The Iraqis stay safe. They stay in their houses. They don't vote. We vote for them. Everybody wins. I don't like that idea. Okay, the instant poll machine we have here says most people don't like that idea. I don't know why. It makes perfect sense. Can you imagine $280 billion? That's what this thing is costing? I mean, something that's a spectacular success, all right? Something where God himself comes down out of the heavens and congratulates you on what a good job you're doing. Something where, you know, we all have enough, you know, drugs to make us high for the rest of our lives and in a productive way, too. You know, that kind of success isn't worth $280 billion, okay? Nothing's worth $280 billion. I'll bet many people would say, you know, if it's a choice between the Earth just burning itself out to a cinder and spending $280 billion to try and fix it, it's not worth it. It's not worth the expense. Let it go. But $280 billion for such a colossal failure. Oh, my God. And it just is not stopping. Of course, you know, we all predicted this. If only people in the White House and other parts of government had listened to Off the Wall a couple of years ago. But no, they can't get the signal down there. And they can't figure out how to use the internet and tune us in that way. Bush has asked for another $80 billion for this year's cost of fighting wars, both in Iraq and Afghanistan, but mostly in Iraq. And it's unreal. It's unreal. No end in sight. But the elections are coming up, and boy, that's going to be a lot of fun for everybody, isn't it? What would you do? If you were in Iraq right now, would you actually risk your life to stand outside one of these long lines they're going to set up. Yeah, to make it nice and simple, they're going to make you stand on line for several hours so that you can be a target. And then once you get to the pole, they're going to stick your hand in some indelible ink, so you're going to have that as a marker, just in case anybody wants to come around and check to see if you were one of the people who worked with the Americans and voted in their sham election. You have a big indelible stain on your arm to prove you did. It doesn't sound so enticing, does it? Because once you get to the polls and you get your hand stained like that, what do you vote for? What exactly? There's no campaigning going on. Everyone's afraid to campaign. In all likelihood, the guy who's in charge now is going to stay in charge. Only because people recognize his name. Might just as well stay home. What's the point? And normally, you know, I'm for elections. I think they're a good idea. But in this situation, come on. A lot more important things to worry about, such as how to get the Americans out of there, how to get the country back into some form of stability. Like it or not, it was stable before we went in there and messed things up. Just how long is it going to go on for? Nobody seems to know. This report came out yesterday, and I'm amazed. I haven't found it. I'm actually not that amazed, but I am kind of indignant. It's not on the American media outlets that I can see. Maybe it is, but they've simply buried it. Top story on BBC. Iraqi security forces systematically abuse prisoners. That's according to a leading U.S.-based human rights group. Unlawful arrest, torture, and the long-term isolation of detainees are routine. That's according to Human Rights Watch. And before you go out spouting how this is a bunch of leftist communists that just hate America, keep in mind these guys are world-respected, and you have to take a good look at yourself when you have to attack the people who criticize as having an agenda. If anyone has an agenda in this case, it's the U.S. government. Time after time has been proven to be lying about the reasons for being there. So everybody should listen to this. Everybody should listen to what Human Rights Watch has to say. They have no vested interest in a particular type of regime in Iraq. Of 90 prisoners interviewed by the group since 2003, 72 out of 90, said they had been abused by the new Iraqi authorities. Another rights group, the American Civil Liberties Union, charges that similar abuses allegedly committed by U.S. soldiers have not been investigated. The ACLU said it had obtained documents that told a damning story. I can't believe I pronounced the N on that. Damning story. Not damning. Damning story. After a while, if you stay around here long enough, you will lose the ability to read. They told a damning story of widespread torture reaching well beyond the walls of Abu Ghraib, the notorious U.S.-run jail in Iraq. A spokesman for the U.S. military said the Army had aggressively investigated all credible allegations and held soldiers accountable for their actions. The 94-page report by Human Rights Watch detailed a catalog of abuses allegedly committed by Iraqi security forces. The report found evidence of widespread human rights violations against alleged national security suspects and common criminals. Between July and October 2004, HRW's investigations revealed systematic use by Iraqi forces of arbitrary arrest, torture of detainees, improper treatment of child prisoners, God, and denial of access to lawyers. Iraqi Human Rights Minister Bakhtiar Amin acknowledged that abuses had occurred and blamed the legacy of Saddam Hussein's regime. How much mileage do you think they're going to get out of this? He told the Reuters news agency that the security forces' shortcomings were the fault of 3.5 decades of dictatorship, widespread torture, and human rights violations. Wonder what the excuse for the Americans is. Among the report's findings, detainees were routinely beaten with cables and metal rods during interrogation, given electric shocks, and kept blindfolded and handcuffed for days. Detainees were held for long periods in isolation, deprived of food and water, and crammed into small cells with standing room only. Iraqi police sought bribes in return for releasing prisoners or allowing them access to family members or food and water. Executive Director for HRW Sarah Lee Whitson said Iraqi forces and international advisors were allowing abuses to go unchecked in the name of bringing stability to Iraq. She said, the people of Iraq were promised something better than this after the government of Saddam Hussein fell. The Iraqi interim government is not keeping its promises to honor and respect basic human rights. Ms. Whitson acknowledged Iraqi security forces were targeted by insurgents, but said this did not justify prisoner abuse. The HRW report does not examine claims of mistreatment of prisoners by U.S. or coalition forces, at least not that particular report. However, in a separate report, the ACLU said late on Monday that U.S. investigations into alleged abuse committed by American soldiers had been woefully inadequate and had basically whitewashed the torture and abuse. Quoting U.S. Defense Department documents obtained under the Freedom of Information Act, yes, it still exists, the ACLU said the Pentagon had failed to conduct full inquiries into serious allegations of torture, including electric shocks, forced sodomy, and severe physical beatings. In one case, a 73-year-old Iraqi woman reported that her captors sodomized her with a stick, but the incident was closed on the basis of a sanitized copy of a preliminary report, according to the ACLU. The Pentagon rejects the allegation that its investigations were not adequate. U.S. soldier Charles Grainer was found guilty of abusing prisoners at Abu Ghraib earlier this month, while cases are also being brought against troops from the UK and Denmark. But anyone who thinks that's enough, you're not getting the whole facts here. You're not looking at the big picture. I mean, you know, one, two, three people responsible for all of it? And these just happen to be the people that had cameras out and were filming the whole thing? You know, if you ever spend time with a crowd of people and seen the mob mentality take over, you know that it's not one or two individuals. It's a whole lot of people. So that's what your tax dollars are paying for. And I don't know. I don't know where it's going to go from here. I'd like your opinion on this. As always, you can write to us, otw@2600.com, or you can call us. You can even call us live on the radio or live over the internet if you're listening to us somewhere else in the world. Our phone number is country code 1, area code 631, phone number 632-WUSB, 632-9872. Did you catch the inauguration last Wednesday? Last Thursday, rather. Yeah, I wish I could have been there, but you know, the whole thing was pretty depressing. I was watching some of it on television, and as I feared, there were very few people. I don't want to say very few, but not enough. Not enough people showed up to voice outrage, and I didn't see a single egg thrown. Nobody threw an egg at the presidential limousine. Of course, you know, I can't blame them. You had to go through a metal detector, and presumably an egg detector, too, to even get into the space. And then once you were standing there, somehow they were able to identify all the people who were protesters. Once you were standing there, you had something like four rows of cops staring you in the face. So if you made one move at all, you'd probably be dead. You take a good look at that. You look at the coverage of this event, and you ask yourself, is this a free nation? You know, is this really what it's come to? All the reports were saying how the inauguration was to celebrate freedom, and I thought they were joking. I really thought it was some kind of cynical play on words. Because how can you have a celebration of freedom when you have all these guns pointed at you, you have all these policemen watching everything you do, where you can't walk down a street anymore, where everybody is living in fear? And it's amazing because, you know, they're living in fear of hypothetical situations. Meanwhile, the actual situation is much more frightening. What's going on in the streets coming from here? To me, that's a whole lot worse than an occasional terrorist act, which are fairly few and far between and unfortunate, but you can lose a lot more by obsessing with what-ifs. And unfortunately, that's where we seem to be going. Anti-Bush demonstrators waved signs that said worst president ever and the American nightmare. And they jeered the president's motorcade during the inaugural parade Thursday. And I guess felt that that was about all they could do. It was funny, though. Did you watch when the motorcade passed the demonstrators? It sped up. you see the Secret Service guys walking next to the car. And then they go past the demonstrators. And the demonstrators were loud. And I heard them on CNN, and they even managed to, like, shout some obscenities over the air, which, you know, I guess the country will survive that, too. But then you see the Secret Service agents start trotting next to the car, and you realize the car is speeding up. And I think the same thing happened back in 2001 as well, when the and that was before Bush even did anything. When the limousine went by the demonstrators, that I guess the driver felt that the president shouldn't see this, or maybe the president himself asked him to speed up and get him the hell out of there. I mean, it wasn't very fast. It wasn't like, you know, 30 miles an hour or anything like that. It was going from, say, 5 miles an hour to 10 miles an hour. But still, you know, pretty significant. And it's so obvious, too, when you have people walking next to you and all of a sudden they have to start running. you can't paint a clearer picture as to what's going on. But, you know, as usual, the media reports on isolated incidents, such as someone burned a flag. Oh, my God, somebody burned a flag somewhere. So that typifies all the protesters. These are flag burners. Not that there's anything wrong with burning an occasional flag, but it's amazing to me that they always try to find something that's going to offend people somehow, rather than focus on the issues. Why are these people there? What are they chanting about? What are they upset about? And maybe this is a valid position? Could it be? Anyway, so I'd like to hear from anybody who actually went down there. I don't know very many people who did. It's a depressing time of year. Yesterday was supposedly the worst day ever. I read this somewhere on some website that January 24th is the most depressing day of the year. I don't know how they reach these conclusions, but it's got something to do with the weather, the time of year, the shortness of the day. And yeah, you know, I guess it was kind of a depressing day in the bigger scheme of things, but I'm sure there'll be more depressing days than that. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. But it was interesting. It was interesting to hear that there was a most depressing day of the year. I don't know if it's true every year. It's the first time I've ever heard this. Okay, what else is going on in the news? We don't want to focus completely on Iraq. And I see there's people calling in, and we will take phone calls. Just give us a little while to spout and rant and rave. 631-632-9872 is our phone number. Let's say around maybe half past the hour. Okay? If you're out there listening, half past the hour, that's when you should call in. And then we'll start taking phone calls. Of course, watch what happens. At half past the hour, nobody's going to call in. And I'll just be left here with a stupid look on my face that you won't be able to see, fortunately. Okay, here's a website which I think is kind of cool. You know all those stupid ribbons that are popping up on cars everywhere? Well, this site here apparently is printing other banners, other little slogans on ribbons. And I assume they're going to send them out to you. I'm pretty sure that's how it is. I'll give you the website. If they rip you off, let me know. Store.pomosideshow. pomosideshow.com/ribbons.html. Listen to some of the slogans. Now, of course, if you look around, you'll see some of these. If you're driving right now, I'm sure you'll see one. You might even have one. There are these magnetic stickers, which I don't know why anybody didn't invent these before. Seems like a better thing than a bumper sticker. You just stick them on the side of your car, on the back of your car, and they stay put. Of course, they can easily be taken off, too, or you can stick other things on other people's cars. I guess that's all part of the fun. But if you look at the one in front of you right now, you'll see that it says something like, support our troops, God bless America. Actually, you know what? You can't really see what it says. You have to get right up to it. So you just have to assume that's what it says. So there's a good way to counter this. And that way is to simply flood the market with other messages so that nobody really knows what it says. You see one of these ribbons, and, well, you think it says support the troops, but maybe it says something else, and you have that doubt in your mind. So you have to go right up to the thing in order to find out. And of course, since you pretty much have to get into an accident to see what it says anyway, well, even more fun for the family. Here's some of the slogans that are being selected for alternate yellow ribbons. More patriotic than you. God bless jingoist ribbons. God loves ribbons. My ribbon is bigger than yours. God bless corporate America. Support our troops. End the war. Hey, that was mine. That was mine. I better get something back for that. I said it on this show months ago. And I noted the date. All right. I just like, you know, credit and the appropriate fees when applicable. Here's some more. Freedom isn't free. Organize against Bush. That's not going to fit on a ribbon. Come on. I like this one. I hate ribbons. Yeah, that's a good one. Where is your ribbon? God bless our corporate masters. I temporarily support the troops. Pre-cooked bacon. Okay. God bless the magnetic ribbon industry. Okay. Real patriots question Bush. And this is another one that's never going to fit on a ribbon. Of course, Iraq had WMD. They were one of our best customers. I think you might need two ribbons for that one. I wish God did talk to Bush. Oh, that's good. Some of these just make good bumper stickers to start with. Demand open source voting. Okay, we're sort of getting away from the ribbon idea here, but yeah, you know, it's an important issue too. Then a variation on that. Demand open source voting. Write to your congressperson. The Bible should be open source. Cowboy is not a political party. Cowboy, more like stubborn jackass. Ivory Tower, how about Silver Spoon Cowboy? And, you know, they go on from there. They go on from there. So, it's pretty cool. Again, the website is store.pomosideshow.com, pomosideshow.com/ribbons.html. Supposedly, you can order these. I'm not sure if they're simply putting these up as samples or if you actually can order them. So if you manage to order one of these things, let me know. If you have any more ideas, please let us know that too. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, God, did you hear this one? Christians issue gay warning on SpongeBob video. Did you hear my brain trying to think of something to say? I could hear the relays clicking. There's nothing to say to this. There's nothing. I'll read part of the story, but then I'm just going to have to bail. Conservative Christian groups accused the makers of a video starring SpongeBob SquarePants, Barney, and a host of other cartoon characters of promoting homosexuality to children. The wacky square yellow SpongeBob is one of the stars of a music video due to be sent to 61,000 U.S. schools in March. The makers, the nonprofit We Are Family Foundation, say the video is designed to encourage tolerance and diversity. But at least two Christian activist groups say the innocent cartoon characters are being exploited to promote the acceptance of homosexuality. God forbid. A short step beneath the surface reveals that one of the differences being celebrated is homosexuality, wrote Ed Vitaglinia. I'm so mad I can't even say his name. I'm sorry. And an article for the American Family Association. The video is a remake of the 1979 hit song We Are Family, using the voices and images of SpongeBob, Barney, Winnie the Pooh, Bob the Builder, the Rugrats, and other TV cartoon characters. It was made by a foundation set up by songwriter Nile Rodgers after the terrorist attacks of September 11th in an effort to promote healing. Christian groups, however, have taken exception to the tolerance pledge on the foundation's website, which asks people to respect the sexual identity of others along with their abilities, beliefs, culture, and race. You know, so at some point we just have to say, so what to these people? Go get a life. We're not going to pay any more attention to you. And unfortunately, in this country, we pay so much attention to morons like this. And they are morons. I'm sorry. This is crossing the line. Okay, you can have your differences of opinion. You can have your alternative lifestyles and things like that. And I refer to the religious right as alternative lifestyle here. But as soon as you start saying that other people cannot have the same rights as you, that's where you've crossed the line, okay? That's where people have got to start working to keep you from causing more harm. Because you've caused so much harm as it is. A simple thing, respecting diversity, accepting the fact that people are different. Now, you can't handle that, huh? You can't handle that. We should continue to hate. We should continue to show prejudice against, to make sure that certain people don't have the same rights. There's no other way to look at this. There's no other way to look at this. Can you actually deny that people have different ways of living their lives? You can't deny that. And you also can't deny that these alternative ways of living lives have absolutely no effect on you. But you want to have an effect on other people. You want to stop them from living whatever lives they do live and encouraging hatred and discrimination. Well, so much for the groups who do this. And, you know, I know not all Christian activist groups support this kind of thing. So to those organizations, I think now is the time to speak out and say we don't support this crap and that there are actually intelligent Christians out there and we're not all defined by these conservative idiots. Or you can say nothing. And if you say nothing, well, you're going to get lumped in with them. That's just the way it is. Okay, what else? You see this interesting ad that's floating around on the internet? Volkswagen. this is something. Volkswagen is threatening to sue the makers of what's turned out to be a bogus publicity campaign. The ad features a young Middle Eastern man with a checkered keffiyeh. Is that how you say it? The thing that you wear around your neck? You know, that Yasser Arafat used to have? Probably still has, but you know what I mean. Anyway, he's descending the stairs of an English row house. He gets into a shiny black Polo VW, starts the motor, and drives off. Then you cut to people sitting at an outdoor cafe. The camera closes in on a mother holding a baby. And then the driver pushes a button and detonates an explosive belt buckled around his waist. The bomber blows himself up, but the sturdy vehicle manages to absorb the blast. You just see, like, this flame on the inside, and the car rocks a little bit. You don't even hear much noise. Then you cut to a black frame with a VW logo and a slogan reading, Polo, small but tough. I saw this thing on the net the other day, and it was brilliantly done. It looked just like a professional ad. I mean, it was shot in 35mm, not video. It looks so professionally done. So, yeah, you know, there was debate going on. Is this real? Is this a real commercial? Anyway, the ad spurred thousands of responses on advertising blogs and newsletters, with some industry insiders speculating that Volkswagen secretly paid for the ad. Both the car company and the British agency that produced it, the Lee and Dan Agency, deny any cooperation between the two organizations. This agency, Lee and Dan, they specialize in viral ads. What those are advertisements that make it through the net. And they're a lot cheaper because you don't have to pay for advertising time on television. But for whatever reason, people decide to look at these ads. I guess sometimes they're interesting. I guess Volkswagen isn't too amused. I mean, I think it's hilarious. But listen to this. Listen to these people, all these politically correct people who have problems with this. They don't understand satire. They don't understand humor. Let's see. Ron Ackerman, director of public relations for Volkswagen in Israel, confirmed that Volkswagen is threatening legal action. He told the Jerusalem Post that the bogus ad builds on an earlier campaign by Volkswagen, which shows the Polo VW surviving in a variety of absurdly dangerous situations, followed by the slogan, small but tough. The advertising duo responsible for the ad, he explained, specialize in viral ads, as we mentioned. usually such ads are legitimate ones financed by the companies themselves as a cheaper alternative to TV advertising, but sometimes they're produced by ad agencies looking for work. In this case, we're talking about an unsuccessful parody created in order to publicize the advertising firm itself. VW thinks it is not funny in the least, and I think whoever saw it clearly understands it is not an ad created by VW. Well, fine. But it is funny. I'm sorry, it made me laugh. It's made everybody I've shown it to so far laugh. I know, blowing up cars isn't something funny. But the absurdity, that's what's funny. I hate having to explain humor to people. Alerted to the story by the Jerusalem Post, Laura Cam Ishakharov, co-director of the Anti-Defamation League's Israel office, said, "There is no accounting for this advertisement's inappropriateness and bad taste. It's appalling. Although it has no implicit Jewish or Israeli context, it negatively stereotypes Arabs, and I would understand if the Arab community would be up in arms against it. Terrorism is no laughing matter in any context." Oh, please. It doesn't stereotype Arabs. It simply takes what's going on every day in some part of the world, mostly in the Mideast. I mean, yeah, okay, would you feel any better if it was a black lesbian woman blowing herself up in a car? Would that appease you? Unfortunately, this is how the car bomb culture tends to be right now. Maybe it'll change. Maybe there'll be more Korean car bombs. Who knows? But right now, you know, if you want to have a successful parody of something, and yes, it is a successful parody of daily news events, you have to make it look like a daily news event. Sorry if that rubs you the wrong way. Wael Abu Aksa, who was writing his master's degree on the intellectual history of the Middle East at Jerusalem's Hebrew University, felt similarly upon viewing the ad. "From their point of view, it's an advertisement, but I see it as a tool for shaping public opinion and for perpetuating a negative image of Arabs, Palestinians, and Muslims in the media." Please. You don't see this thing and come away with a negative sensation for a particular group of people. At least I sure didn't. Continuing here, "It's an incitement to hatred that represents the Arab immigrant as a terrorist fighting against a civilian, innocent European society, which can stop him thanks to its technological power." I don't even know where to begin. Iyad Baghdadi, a young sociologist and writer based in Nazareth, added, "The marketing strategy used here plays into the idea of a war of civilizations and capitalizes on negative stereotypes in order to build a publicity firm's business reputation. It is a cruel instrumentalization of stereotypes which can only foster further violence." And here's one more. David Nayor, the spokesperson of the Israeli... why don't they speak to any Arabs? They're only speaking to Israelis. I don't get this. The spokesperson of the Israeli Organization for Victims of Terror Attacks told the Jerusalem Post, "It's sad to revert to using cheap provocative tricks that are hurtful to certain people, only in order to ride a wave and create a despicable ad. There is no justification for such a publicity campaign other than the desire to draw attention." Well, yeah, that's what advertising is. "But there are plenty of people trying to capitalize on the wave of terror in Israel and the world who are indifferent to the human dignity that is trampled along the way." You know, that's great if you're talking about actual terrorist attacks. This is something that is a parody of common, everyday events that are taking place. You can point to 100 different examples of things that aren't funny that you can still parody. People need to lighten up. All right. Now that I've offended just about everybody, hopefully, I see that our phone lines are dead. Now, I instructed the listeners, 6:30, so when we start taking phone calls, I'm looking and I don't see any phone calls. 631-632-9872. All right, there's one. I want to see the ones come back that were there before. You know, that's fair. Not asking too much here. And while we're waiting for that, which hopefully will be in a moment or two, some more examples of how the religious right is dictating terms through the FCC. Oh, thank God. Thank God that lunatic is resigning. You know, the head of the FCC. But, you know, it's not going to do much good. It's not going to really help much, because we live in a society that is in fear in so many different ways, including broadcast TV. They're pixelating cartoon characters now. Fox Television says it covered up the naked rear end of a cartoon character recently because of nervousness over what the FCC will find objectionable. The latest example of TV network self-censorship because of FCC concerns came a few weeks ago during a rerun of the Family Guy cartoon. Fox electronically blurred a character's posterior, even though the image was seen 5 years ago when the episode originally aired. "We have to be checking and second-guessing ourselves now," Fox Entertainment President Gail Berman said Monday. "We have to protect our affiliates." Fox hadn't gotten any complaints about the cartoon. And the move follows the FCC's decision in October to fine 169 Fox stations $7,000 each for airing an episode of Married by America that showed people licking whipped cream from strippers' bodies and a man in his underwear being spanked by strippers. And that's just bad TV. If we're going to start fining stations for bad TV, I want a piece of that. Because there's a lot of money to be made. It's certainly confusing when you have to do something like that, Berman said. It's just that we were trying to find our way and do what's responsible. I have sort of a feeling that this guy is kind of trying to piss people off to get a reaction, which, you know, is fine if it works. But this has to end someplace. This has to stop. This TV, you know, designed for kindergartners constantly, it's not going to fly. Even PBS executives there said that they were going to edit out a glimpse of a naked woman in a fictional account of a terrorist dirty bomb attack that will air next month. This is the film actually I saw last night called Dirty War. It was on HBO. It's going to air on PBS next month. And yeah, there's a scene, oh my God, there's a scene where people have to shower radioactivity off of their bodies, contamination, you know, and they have to take a shower to do that. And yeah, you see some naked women. Oh, come on, get over it. This is not junior high school. This is real life. Let PBS show a naked woman. I mean, it's PBS, for God's sake. You know, and just our neighbors to the north are able to show all kinds of things on commercial television that's broadcast over the airwaves. They can show The Sopranos without censoring a single word or scene. Why? Why are we so afraid to do this? Because we listen to these lunatics on the right who tell us how to think and how to behave. At some point, we have to say no more. All right, 631-632-9872. I see we have a single phone call. Let's get some more. Good evening. You're on the air.
Real life. Hi there.
How you doing?
Pretty good. Just a couple of quick things about you. First of all, did you hear about Bush's support for the Roe v. Wade protesters?
Yeah, that was pretty disgusting, too.
Yeah, I mean, naturally the man's on vacation when the Iraqi elections are coming on. That's supposed to be a big problem, so the man's on vacation, and he just phones in.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess he could have shown up, but, you know, where do you think this is going to go? I mean, you know, Supreme Court obviously is going to be redefined in the next 4 years. Do you think that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned?
Well, unfortunately, with the way it's going with most of the conservatives and Republicans in Senate, more than likely, once they get a few more justices on the bench, it looks like it's going to go whatever way they want it to go.
Yeah, it sure seems that way. I keep waiting for, you know, something to happen, you know, the final step where people are going to say enough already and really, you know, start getting angry and doing things. But it just seems like we keep taking those steps one by one and the reaction hasn't come.
I know, and then any steps we do take are usually just knocked back by more protesting or technicalities and legal loopholes.
Yeah. I guess the best thing to do is just, you know, not lose faith, no pun intended, but just, you know, keep fighting back because it does. If you look at the amount of enforcement that was out against protesters, they may say it's against terrorists, but it was aimed against protesters in D.C. last Thursday. I think they're a lot more afraid than people on the other side, on the losing side, are. I think they're very afraid of losing whatever control and power they have, and that's why they're coming down so hard on people. That's why they're trying to instill such fear.
That's honestly how I think they did so well in the election, was just, hey, you know what? If you're not for us, you're a terrorist. So what are you, for us or terrorist?
Uh-huh. Unfortunately, that's where it seems to be going. All right, thanks. Where are you calling from?
What?
Where are you calling from?
Fargo, North Dakota.
Oh, wow, Fargo. What's the weather like over there?
Warm, actually.
Really? We have something like 2 feet of snow on the ground here.
Yeah, you got hit with what we got over the weekend, so.
It's a lot of fun. You know, I got to say, my car is still buried. I have no intention of digging it out. And I didn't even leave my house yesterday at all. I didn't even open the door. I'd never done that before. It's kind of cool. I got a lot of work done.
I can imagine.
Yeah. So, hey, thanks thanks for your call.
Yep, thank you.
All right. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening. I'm calling USB.
Yes, you're on the air.
That's good. This is Jeff Haller from the Anti-Freemasonic Party, or a new political party.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Actually, we're an old political party that we're trying to reestablish. It was the first third party after the Democrats and the Republicans.
Okay.
I'd just like to say to you and your listeners that it's not going to stop until people start getting involved and take the legal, peaceful political means to start restructuring our government. And the only way that can be done is by a United States congressional petition, which is a First Amendment official redress of our grievances before Congress. And when we get enough petitions signed, we can start instituting a new political party. And our hope is that the Anti-Freemasonic Party to start restructuring the government.
What exactly is the Anti-Freemasonic Party, anyway?
Well, it was the first third party. It was a gentleman named Thaddeus Stevens back in September 11th, 1830. They had the proceedings from the Anti-Freemasonic Party, and that was spurred off because the government had, well, the Anti-Freemasonic Party, rather, had warned the American people that Freemasons were taking over the government slowly but surely, and they were instituting themselves into every major level of government, mm-hmm. such as judges and lawyers and doctors and main religious organizations. So they had warned everyone back in the proceedings, September 11, 1830, and that's a key date, that we should take precautions. And most people don't know that that party existed, and they were slowly, well, they were very successful in three states, and then they forced the Masons to go underground, and then they themselves, the Anti-Freemasonic Party, kind of faded out of existence. So we believe that that's one of the key ways that we can start putting everyone together and have a new political party that represents the people's best interest and not the government's special interest.
Well, you know, it is an interesting name, that's for sure. Do you know any Freemasons yourself?
Well, we know of them, shall we say.
Okay. Well, I know of them, too, and I even know some people that joined them in an attempt to get information about them, and they got swallowed up. It's a cult. It really is a cult, isn't it?
It's a satanic cult of Freemasonry, and I mean no disrespect to the lower-level Freemasons who do a very good job every day going and working hard.
What do they do exactly? And they're satanic? I didn't know they were satanic.
Well, they've been linked to satanic cults. Again, I'm talking about upper-level Freemasons, and a lot of people don't know it, but George Bush, has a documented background that stems from Freemasonry, as do a lot of and most of the people within our United States government. Thus, the need for the Anti-Freemasonic Party.
Okay, so what does the day-to-day Freemason do?
Well, the day-to-day Freemason is, are you talking about the fraternal organization or the people that go out and...
Well, you said you didn't mean offense to the hardworking...
I mean, the bricklayers. These are not the Freemasons that I'm talking about.
Oh, real Freemasons. You mean people that are involved in Masonry.
Yes, I'm talking about the fraternal organization, the satanic cult of Freemason, the OTO, that type of Freemasons, the
they
people
don't
that are
lay
deeply
any
embedded and entrenched within our United
right,
States
right.
government.
But they have these magnificent halls and buildings that they somehow have attained over the years.
Unfortunately, they do, but they don't. You won't see the activity that really goes on at these places. It's more than we can get into on this conversation for your listeners, but we do hope that you support the Anti-Freemasonic Party. Please look for it on cable access and your local area.
Do you have a
United States congressional petition.
Do you have a website or anything?
It will be up soon. There's a lot of good things happening. People, please keep your listening to your prayers because that's what it's going to take. God puts all the people in the government. And I do believe, not to get too religious with people, but I do believe that it's the many sins and that it's kind of like a chastisement that we have to go through. The Archbishop in 1895 of Ireland said that he left the United States with a divine mission for us to carry on. It would be one of the last chances for liberty. We give up our rights, in many cases, to the government. So we need to restructure and start putting the right people in government that represents the people's best interest, not the government's special interest.
All right. Well, thanks for interesting comments.
Sounds good. I have a new song that I got to share with the listeners.
A song? Okay.
Okay, let's see.
As long as it's clean. I imagine it probably is.
It's called No New World Order.
All right, let's hear it.
The opportunity. God bless you and your listeners.
All right, thanks very much. That's, boy, songs over what sounded like a Sprint PCS phone. Wow. And of course, if you have any secret Freemason facts that you're not allowed to tell anybody, please let us know, because we won't tell anybody. otw@2600.com. You can just mail them over to us. That includes, you know, handshakes, chants, customs of various sorts, locations, things like that. Yeah, there's all kinds of things. And everybody gets really spooked, too. You know, people you would think would know better, when you find out they know a secret, they won't tell you what it is. They'll get all crazy and scared. So, yeah, these people, they've got some kind of hold on a lot of people. And, you know, they're like the Scientologists. Nobody really knows what they do. They just have a lot of secrets and get people entrenched. Have a lot of money, go after their enemies, but nobody really knows what they're all about. It's something. And of course, in that last conversation, we don't mean to offend any satanic cults out there that are not affiliated with the Freemasons. So please don't write us any letters in case you were offended that way. 631-632-9872, that's our phone number. And of course, we get all kinds of pieces of mail. So we take a look at a couple of them. Yeah. Dear Emmanuel, the smart cars you spoke about were recently featured on an NBC presentation at the Detroit Auto Show. Pretty cool looking, not to mention the benefits of them, of course. They mentioned that the smart cars are planning on being available in the United States in 2006. Yes, but not the ones that we were talking about. They have bigger ones in store for us. They also mentioned that the smart car marketing division would like to know how much of a demand there is for smart cars in the United States. I suggest everyone interested in getting smart cars into the United States, possibly even before 2006, to email them at info@smart.com and let them know. Signed, Jesse from Iowa. Thanks very much for that information. And when you do write them, make sure you mention that you want the 4.2. Or is it the 2.4? No, the 4.2. Not the 4.4 or the 4.more. You want the small car. All right. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Good. I tuned in the middle of your Freemason discussion. I have no idea how you got onto the topic.
Well, the caller basically veered me onto the topic.
I'll be brief. I don't want to get into a big conversation about it, but just one thing that irks me, I'm not...
Sorry, you're breaking up. Can you say that again?
I'm not a Freemason, and I'm not particularly afraid of the Masons. I've taken an interest in reading books, to find out what they're about. The one point I'd like to make is that... the whole idea of them being satanic, you have to put that in the context of a Christian perspective. So if you take a Christian perspective for granted, then the symbols that are used in Freemasonry are going to appear satanic. But if you just remove the context of believing that Christianity or a Judeo-Christian view of the world is the valid view of the world, these things have nothing to do with a Christian's concept of God or the devil. They're dealing with an entirely different set of symbols that come from different cultures, and they've been labeled as satanic over the centuries because they resemble what Christians regard as Satan. They use a deity in their practices called Baphomet, which very much resembles the Christian concept of the devil, but it dates back to origins of Pan and Dionysus and Egyptian gods, that represent a lot of different things that, that are rooted in all cultures all over the world, but not the Christian concept of Satan or evil.
Yeah, I was a little puzzled by that myself. I mean, you know, if this was truly a satanic organization, why then would the religious right, you know, support so many of its members?
Yeah, and there's a lot of, I mean, you find people who think all kinds of things about the Masons, and I'm not saying they're true or false, you know, who knows. It's true that, you know, they are obviously a very secretive organization. However, you can go on the Grand Lodge of New York's website and learn a lot of things about them. And it's a fact that they have a membership deficit right now, and if you wanted to be a member, you could probably become one fairly easily. I think they're, you know, half supper club, half just generic fraternity, and they're rooted, in my personal opinion, probably in more of a an enlightened type of, not that they're enlightened, but in terms of trying to preserve old knowledge through the dark ages of monotheistic kind of domination of culture. I think they've tried to preserve older symbols and knowledge, and they had to be secretive about it because it was persecuted for a very long time.
It just seems strange to me that people like George W. Bush would have the time to get involved in organizations like this, let alone the interest.
Well, it's been a way to broker and hold on to power. You know, that's no secret. And so you find a lot of powerful, wealthy people were members in it. And during the time of the formation of our country, it was kind of a very in vogue organization, fraternity to be a part of, and a lot of very influential, you know, founders of our country were members. If you go into any lodge in New York, you'll find a big painting of George Washington in Freemason garb over the entrance, the inner entrance. But I don't know, they're an interesting topic. But in terms of feeding into kind of evangelistic Christian extreme views of it, it's a little bit irrational, I think. I'm not saying that to excuse the Masons from whatever mischief may be up to. Who knows? I don't know if they are or aren't. But
yeah, well, it's not the approach I would take. I found it interesting that there's a different approach to, you know, finding out what these people are all about and criticizing them. Yeah, a lot of people want to know just what Freemasons are all about. And
there's a lot of history. Like, they talk about the buildings they have in Washington, D.C., you can go right into those buildings and take guided tours. You know,
I think there's one on 23rd Street in New York that
available.
You can get a tour of, too. And they seem to have them. I think there's one in Port Jefferson as well, but I'm not sure about that. Anyway, listen, thanks for your comments.
Thank you.
All right, take care. And good evening. You're on. Go ahead.
Hi, good evening. It seems like the last caller doesn't know a lot about Freemasons. And if you ask any Catholic person, specifically traditional Roman Catholic people, they would tell you that the popes many times have condemned Freemasonry because they've been affiliated with very bad things.
Uh-huh. Well,
and you can tell your listeners, look up something called the Franklin Cover-Up. That's the ritualistic abuse that Freemasons many times have allegedly been linked to. And you can also let them look up the Anti-Freemasonic Party, the Proceedings of the United States Anti-Masonic Convention.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for your call. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But on the subject of the Pope, and I want to close off with this. We might have time for one more call, but gonna have to make it fast. One of Poland's best-known newspaper editors has been fined the equivalent of $6,500 for ridiculing Pope John Paul II. That's right, for ridiculing the Pope. A court in Warsaw found Jerzy Urban guilty of insulting a head of state. Did you know that was a crime? Apparently in Poland it is. By writing a satirical article on the eve of the pontiff's 2002 visit to Poland. Now, Mr. Urban, 71 years old, said he was exercising the right to free expression. The Polish court said, we don't have that right here. Yeah. Earlier, the press freedom group Reporters Without Borders said a prosecution would set a dangerous precedent for an EU state. In the early 1980s, get this, Mr. Urban, the guy who's been convicted of this, was spokesman for the last communist government of Poland, which cracked down on the Solidarity Freedom Movement. He's now better known as the editor-in-chief of the weekly newspaper, Ni, I think it's pronounced Ni, which means no in English. What a great name for a magazine, No. In his article titled Walking Sadomasochism, Mr. Urban referred to the Pope's frailty, describing him as the Brezhnev of the Vatican and an impotent old man. When published ahead of the Polish-born Pope's last visit to his homeland in August 2002, it provoked numerous complaints. The court has no doubts that intending to ridicule the church, Jerzy Urban ridiculed and derided the Pope, the verdict said. Opponents of Mr. Urban, who attended the trial, shouted too little when the fine was announced. Prosecutors had requested a 10-month suspended prison sentence. Why would prosecutors request a suspended prison sentence? That's kind of a strange thing to request. According to the BBC, the Pope's standing among Poles is so high that almost any public criticism of the Pope is taboo. Oh, gosh, I guess it could always get worse. We're moving in that direction, though. We certainly are. But until we actually get there, let me reiterate that the Pope is indeed an impotent old man. And I guess that's just the way it goes. All right, that's it for us on this edition of Off the Wall. Again, you can write to us, otw@2600.com. We'll be back again next week with another exciting show. Programming reminder, tomorrow night on Off the Hook, we have a fundraiser. It's our last show for a few weeks, so please, if you want to take part in that, you know where to tune in. We'll talk to you again next week. Stay tuned for the blues. Manuel Goldstein, have a good night.
Smithereens. Hi, this is Albert Collins. When I'm out in Stony Brook, I'll be listening to WUSB FM station. When I want to listen to some good blues, that's the station you tune into.